State, and everybody asked me, said, "Did you get some rest?" I said, "Nope." And we didn't go to the beach and didn't go to the mountains. We went to see a pastor friend of ours in Durham. Ain't a whole lot to rest to get in Durham. Amen. I promise you that. But we are glad to be back and glad we had some time to spend with them. And I think one or two things happened tonight. Either some folks thought, well, preacher's out Sunday, he'll probably be out Wednesday, or the Duke and Carolina fans are so heartbroken because their teams lost that they didn't come to church. Either one's just a bad excuse, amen. But we're glad you're here and glad to be here and excited to see what God's going to do. Let me ask you this tonight. How many are you really, now don't just say it if you're not, really are happy that you're saved on your way to heaven? I'd have to say I am, amen. Hey, listen. With all that's going on in this world, I am glad that this is not our final destination. And we're just passing through. And so I tell you what, God's people ought to rejoice a little bit. And the Bible doesn't say we'll never have a headache or a heartache, but I'm glad that it's better up there than it is down here. Praise the Lord. And so we're glad to see you tonight. We're going to pray. But Eddie's going to come lead us in another song. And he might lead us in a couple songs tonight. Amen. But we're going to sing it out. And we're going to sing with victory. I went and seen Brother Odell yesterday. And just continue to pray for him. He's real weak. He told me, he said, "I'm hoping to get out of here pretty soon." And so I'm hoping he will too. And Mr. Vernon went and seen him yesterday, and he's not doing well either. And so we got a lot of folks still out sick, so we want to pray for them. But we're glad you're here tonight. So let's pray together. And then after we pray, remain standing. We'll sing another song. I want you to sing it out tonight. Amen. I don't know who wrote that last song, but whoever it was sure did have a high voice. Amen. They wrote it high because I strained my goozle a little bit on that one tonight. But let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful to be back in the house of God tonight. Thankful that you love us. Thankful that we're on the winning side tonight. And I pray that you'd meet here with your people. Dear God, that you just fill us with the Spirit of God, that you would speak to our hearts through the Word of God tonight. You get all the glory and the honor. Father, we love you. And we do want to lift those up that are sick in the hospital, those going through trials in their life. We lift them up to you and pray, God, that as you tell us to do, we'd cast all of our burdens on you tonight. Lord, I love you. Thank you for all you've done in our life. Thank you for all you've done in this church. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, Brother Eddie.
Page 41, there's Fountain. This might make up for a couple songs that's got five verses.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And then the sun beneath that blood lose all the guilty stains. Beneath that blood, lose all the Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. Till all the wrath on earth of God be slain to sin no more. Be slain to sin no more. Be slain to sin no more. Till all the wrath on earth of God be slain to sin no more.
On the floor.
Since by faith I saw the stream, my flowing wounds supplied. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. Has been my theme and shall be till I die. In another sweeter song, I'll sing the power to save. In this for this spring downing come, life's island in the grave.
Page 50, there is power in the blood.
Would you be free from the burden, the sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory to win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There was power, power, one working power in the blood of the Lamb. There was power, power, one working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Let's turn around and shake hands for our neighbor to see. Thank you. verses. Would ye be free from your passion and pride? It's fire in the blood, fire in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. And one that will fire in the blood. They would fire, fire, want to work in fire in the blood of the Lamb. They would fire, fire, want to work in fire in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would ye be whiter, much whiter than snow? It's fire in the blood, fire in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. And one that will fire in the blood. It was fire, fire, one the working fire in the blood of the Lamb. It was fire, fire, one the working fire in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would ye deserve it for Jesus your King? There's fire in the blood, fire in the blood. Would ye live daily his praises to sing? There's one that will fire in the blood. There was fire, fire, one working fire in the blood of the Lamb. There was fire, fire, one working fire in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Eddie. Well, let's receive our offering tonight, and just appreciate you giving. You know, it's hard to believe it's March. And it's March. Tomorrow, right? And hard to believe it's March, and it's my birthday, so y'all remember that. I turned 47. If everybody gave me $4,700, it'd be a real blessing for my birthday this year. Just throwing that out there. $47 would be good, too. But hard to believe it's already March, and Missions Conference is just around the corner, and the Marriage Retreat is just a couple weeks off, and then May comes, and then summer comes, and then we won't see some of you for a while. So praise the Lord, it's only March, amen. Could be worse, could be June, but let's make it. I think we should have our Easter tracks in. Do we have those in? Where's my wife? She's not. Anyway, we should have them in. We should have them here by Sunday, have them out. So Easter's just around the corner. And so make sure you get some tracks Sunday. Start handing those out. And just appreciate you doing all you do. So let's pray. We'll receive our offering tonight. And then right after that, we'll do our penny march. Brother Taylor, pray for us, please.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege to be here tonight, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful singing, Lord, and singing about the blood of Christ, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. Help us never get over the blood that Christ shed for our sins, Lord. Help us never forget that, God. Lord, we do pray that you would meet with us here tonight, God, Lord. And Lord, just because it's not a huge number here tonight, Lord, you say we're two or more gathered, Lord, you'll be in the midst with us. And God, we pray, Lord, for your sweet spirit tonight, God. Lord, that nothing would hinder the services, Lord. That your sweet spirit would just, Lord, just make yourself present here tonight, God. Lord, I do pray for our pastor, Lord, as he brings the message, Lord God. Lord, we need help tonight, Lord. We need to be encouraged. We need to be challenged tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, where we need help tonight, Lord. Just encourage our hearts, Lord. Just, Lord, whatever would distract us tonight, Lord, let us leave it outside these walls, Lord. And just help us not pick it up when we go back out, God. Just help us, Lord, to focus on you tonight, God. And just the things of you tonight, God. Help us to have receptive hearts tonight, Lord. Just not to be hearers of the word, God, but doers of the word, God. I do pray for this offering time as well, God. Lord, that we can just give back a portion of what you've blessed us with, God. Pray that you would take this offering, Lord, and just multiply as only you can, God. Lord, we'd just like to give you the honor and glory tonight that you deserve us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
A soldier in the army of the King of Kings am I. He called me to his colors, and for him I'll ever die. I'll go where he beats me, and I'll do his least command. Beneath the banner of the cross, I'll gladly take my stand. I'm a soldier in the army, and the call to battle loudly rings. I'm a soldier in the army, in the army of the King of Kings. The battle fierce is raging over land and over sea. Wherever men have borne the news of Christ and Calvary, the fight for souls must not be lost, I cannot falter, no. But in the strength of Christ my Lord, I'll only forward go. I'm a soldier in the army, and the calls to battle loudly rings. I'm a soldier in the army, in the army of the King of Kings. Someday the battle will be over, victory will come. I wonder if I'll share the full reward awaiting some. Will I have battle scars to show in heaven when we meet? How many crowns and trophies will I cast at Jesus' feet? I'm a soldier in the army, and the call to battle loudly rings. I'm a soldier in the army, in the army of the King of Kings.
That was good. Y'all come sing that other one y'all worked on. Oh. Thought I'd put them on the spot. I thought maybe we'd get two out of them. They did a good job. I appreciate that. Carter said he thought he'd be nervous, but he didn't act nervous, did he? And, you know, I'd rather preach than sing, I believe. And I get so nervous when I sing, and that's why I don't do it much, because I get nervous. But I appreciate people using their talent for the Lord, and appreciate you being in your place tonight. 1 John chapter 3 this evening, if you'll turn there, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 10. 1 John chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. If you could tonight, if you're able to, let's stand together as we respect the reading of the Word of God. I left the Bible I usually preach out of, I left it at home. I was running out, I had some stuff I wanted to do at church, and so I left it at home, and I've got, I don't know, 10 or 12 Bibles, and I was looking through them there. And I had one I used to preach out of sitting on my shelf. I said, well, I'll just pull that one out. And I pulled it out, and it sure looked like the letters had gotten smaller since I preached in it. And so I started looking on the shelf, and I saw one that said large print. And I said, praise the Lord. You know, I don't know who came up with large print, but that man was saved, sanctified, and probably got a high standing in heaven, doesn't he? Amen. And if you get to start getting all these young people saying, oh, you just wait. Amen. I can almost read it without my glasses, but... I'm glad. I like the large print. The only problem is the larger the print's like carrying around a coffee table, isn't it? So let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. You know what we could do right there? We could stop there, say amen, go home, and be blessed. Just reading that. We don't have to preach tonight. We just read that part. That he could, we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth. Also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. And whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, and whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness, is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. That's interesting to me. I mean, it's almost like John just threw that thing in there. You know, it's almost like he just said, you know what? If you're living in sin, then you're of your father, the devil. And then he just kind of, and he that doesn't love his brother. And I thought, wow, he that loveth not his brother. It tells me that God puts a pretty big emphasis on us loving each other, doesn't it? Now, we say we love each other. We say we love God. But here's what I want to ask you this. This isn't the message. Just something for you to ponder. Why do we love people? We love people because they do things for us. Oftentimes, we love God because He does things for us. Hello? We don't necessarily love God for who He is. We love Him for what He does for us. We don't necessarily love people for who they are. We love them for what they do for us. And that love is not of God. That is fleshly love. And I want to preach on this thought tonight, our new life in Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we love You and thank You for all You do for us. And pray, God, that You would just speak to our hearts tonight. You've been so good to us, and I pray that we'd love You because You first loved us. And I know it's our nature, I know it's our flesh that we love You because of all You do for us. But I pray that we would love You also because of who You are. So tonight, just do what's needed. Drive back all that would hinder the service and get all the glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You can be seated. As we study through these epistles of John, he deals, especially in the first epistle, with the life of the Christian. And we know we've just studied that we share the family life, that we're all born into the family of God, right? That if you're here today and you're a Christian, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We may come from different earthly fathers, and as you go across the world and run into different believers, their skin color may be different, their language may be different, but the fact is, if they're a born-again Christian and you are, you're part of the same family. And so John deals with that we share the family life, but now John deals with this, how we show with the family life. You know, there ought to be evidence of who we belong to. And it's funny as Luke gets older, and you hear it all the time, and they'll say, your daddy can't deny you. And you never would, but what they're saying is you look like him. And the girls get older, and they look like their mother, and they say, well, you look like your mother. And what they're saying is there is a resemblance of her, and that there's some characteristics that remind that person of the mother or the father. And we can agree with that in an earthly sense. And so if we agree with that in an earthly sense, shouldn't the child of God remind others of what God would look like? In other words, that we should have the attributes of God. We should have the character of God. We should constantly be maturing to be more like Him. And what others see of the character of God is oftentimes what they see in us. That isn't always a good thing, is it? They form their opinion and their idea of who God is by the ones that name His name. And so when we are born again, everything becomes new, and that includes our life. Now, we talk about professions of faith and how many professions of faith that we have, and we see that and we make a big deal about it. But what we really need is possession. We don't just need someone to say they're a Christian. We need folks that are filled with the Holy Spirit of God that will actually live a Christian life. That's what we're commanded to do. And as we look here, we realize that when we are truly born again, that things change in us. Amen? That our appetite is different. Our desires are different. Our speech is different. That what we look at is different. The life is different when we're born again. And so the Bible teaches us that if those things don't change, then we're not really born again. Can we agree with that? Just two of you? Do like this tonight. Go, amen, preacher. Amen. So we have to realize that when we are named the name of Christ, if we're truly born again, there's some things that change about us. And that's a good thing. They don't change in a bad way. as we get older on this earth, things change about us, right? Our eyesight gets worse and our hair starts letting go. And let's be honest, gravity takes effect and starts pulling down on some things that, you know, one guy asked me one time, said, "Man, you've gained some weight since the last time I've seen you." I said, "Well, let's pull out your wedding picture, pal, and see what you look like back then." So we change physically for the worse. Can we agree with that in most parts? But spiritually, we're to change for the better. And I'm afraid what happens is that we take for granted that when someone gets saved, they're just going to live the Christian life. And we make excuses for that and say, well, you know, they're backslid or they got hurt in church or, you know, they profess to know Christ. They prayed and asked Jesus in their heart, but they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. May I say that if you're truly born again, that there is a difference in your life. There is a difference in your life. Amen. And so we look at that as the new life in Christ. And two things I want to share with you. First of all, is our high calling as sons. Bible said, behold, what manner of love. Can we just ponder for a minute? What manner of love? The fact is, when two people fall in love, they think that is the height of experience. I mean, they get their stomachs turning and, you know, they get goosebumps and they're warm and they got all these things and they, Brother Jimmy, they can do anything and they say, oh, that's so sweet. And we think that is the height of love. And so once we experience that, everything else seems to be a letdown. But the fact is, when we look at the love of God, it's not this necessarily, and I'm not saying that feelings are wrong. I'm saying what we have to do is examine that God didn't feel all warm and fuzzy about us. He didn't pity us. He loved us. And because He loved us, Jesus died for us. And now, John has walked with Jesus. He has been His disciple. He has been persecuted. He has been ridiculed. He's been tortured. And now, even after all of that, He's saying this, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Can I take just a little time out here? Brother Matt, we're so sensitive today that we will get tore up if it rains, or it's too hot, or somebody didn't like me on Facebook, or I didn't get a letter, or I didn't get a card, or whatever it is. And the fact is, folks, here's a man that was expecting Jesus to usher in utopia, and he watched his hope die on Calvary, be put in a barred tomb, was raised on the third day, went out and witnessed for Him, went out and lived His life for the Lord Jesus Christ, was persecuted, was beaten, was martyred. And here in this epistle, He's writing to some young Christians and He's saying, what manner of love? He didn't say, God hates me. He didn't say, poor, poor, pitiful me. Look, I don't understand why God would let this happen. Even in the end, He's still saying, what manner of love? Folks, may I say tonight that you and I need to get our eyes off of everything but the love of God. Get our eyes off of all the circumstances and get it on the love of God. You say, nobody loves me, preacher. There's nobody in this world that cares for me. There is a God in heaven that should not love you, but He does love you. And He manifested that love in the greatest way ever by going to a cross and not only dying for you, but dying as you. Listen, folks, we have nothing to complain about. We have nothing to whine about. What we need tonight is to get a glimpse of the love of God, because if we are motivated by law or if we're motivated by anything but the love of Christ, it'll never last. And John says this, it's our high calling as sons, that the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And you realize tonight, I'll say this, I really admire people that are willing to adopt children. I do. I think that's awesome. I'm not saying you're any less of a person for having your own children, but I'm saying someone that would extend that love to someone that is not their flesh and blood is amazing, isn't it? Especially when they would take them in and make them part of their family, not treat them different, but they would make them part of their family. But what happens, Brother Johnny, is we will exalt someone for doing that, and we should honor them. So don't go out of here and say, preacher said, you listen to what I'm saying, take it in context. We'll make more out of somebody that does that with an earthly child than a righteous, holy God that has done that for us. Because we deserve hell. We deserve all the punishment that God could throw at us. And in all of that, John is saying, look at this manner of love that He bestowed on us, that He made us the sons of God, that He adopted us into His family, that He allowed us to have all the privileges, all the access that a son would have. You'll get it one day. Amen. Somebody let me say, I'm not getting all this, preacher. I'm saying that God took you in when He shouldn't have. He took you in when nobody else should, nobody else would. And not only did He take you in, He didn't put you in the back room and just throw you scraps. He brought you in and He gave you all the bounty of heaven. He gave you all the goods of heaven. All the goodness of God is yours this evening if you're a child of God. And so He tells us in this, it's a high calling as a son. Now we can rejoice tonight. Praise God, hallelujah. So it's a calling. God has called us. It's not lowly, it's a high calling. You know, we look and we think Christians have it so bad. And we think, man, and look at these rock stars and look at these athletes and all the money they're making and the fame and fortune and these politicians and all this. And we look and say, well, we Christians, we've got it so bad. We can't pray in school. They're closing off neighborhoods, Brother Jim. We can't hardly hand out tracts anymore. It is awful. Woe is me. Can't hardly say your blessing at the restaurant without people looking at you. Am I on? We're the lowliest of the lowly. And God's saying it's a high calling. You say, oh, would you like to be president? Man, I wouldn't want to take a step backwards, would you? Wouldn't you like to be the CEO of some major corporation? Why take a step backwards when you had the highest calling on your life, and that is to be a son of God? But with that, He tells us in verse 1, He shows us its commencement in the past. The Bible doesn't say we will be someday. It says that we are. We should be called the sons of God. And we're called the sons of God tonight because of what Jesus did in the past. Listen, it's not a progressive salvation. It's not a try to do the best you can. It's not a live your life and maybe one day. The commencement is in the past. Listen, at Calvary, Jesus paid it all. Jesus that died for you. Jesus paid your sin debt. That today you're free and you're clear and your debt is canceled out because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. And by the way, it wasn't an afterthought of God. It was the plan of God from the foundation of the world. He looked down through time and saw you and knew your need and went to Calvary and died in your place and loved you. And today you're the Son of God because of what commenced in the past. But then it's continuation in the present. The Bible doesn't say one day, does it? It says in verse 2, beloved, now. It doesn't say one day we'll be the sons of God. See, we're all looking for heaven. Hello? We're all looking for one day up ahead. When what we ought to be doing is enjoying the fruit today. What we ought to do is enjoy the privilege today. What we ought to do is enjoy the high calling of God today. Listen, it's not someday, it's today, praise God. Now are we the sons of God. And today, it means present tense salvation. You're not going to be saved one day. If you're a born-again believer, you're saved today. Listen, you can't die and go to hell. I don't care what they say about losing your salvation. My friend, it is settled, sealed. It's from God above. And the Bible said He gives us eternal life. Not eternal life one day, but the moment you get saved, your life starts. So don't let it... I'm so sick of all this debate about, well, those once saved, always saved people. They are... preaching and teaching heresy. I'm not preaching and teaching anything the Bible doesn't tell you. My friend, I am in Christ and He's in the heavenlies and that is eternal. And tonight, may I say, if you're saved by the grace of God, you are eternally saved. We contemplate the past, but we look forward to the future. But may I say, we live now and now we are the sons of God. Well, Tim, it'd be one thing if God's saying, just get through life the best you can, and one day it's going to be better. That's not what He's saying. Jesus came to give life and give it abundantly. That starts now. We sing victory in Jesus. Well, why don't we start having some? We sing V is for victory. Well, let's start having some. I'm just saying tonight, folks, you don't have to be depressed and downtrodden and discouraged and distraught all the time in your life. You don't have to go through life on the back end of all that's bad in the world if you don't want to, because you do have privilege in the Son of God. You don't have to if you don't want to. Hello? You can come to the table and eat. If you choose not to, you know, it's like this. Your mama puts the biggest spread out on the table and says, all right, come eat. And because you're mad or because you're depressed or because something happened at school that day, you run to your room and said, no, I'm not going to eat. Well, you don't have to eat if you don't want to, but that doesn't mean it's not there. That doesn't mean your mama wasn't good to you by putting it out there for you. If you want to be hard-headed, if you want to, you can sit in your room not eat and starve to death. But you can't blame your mama when she put the food on the table. Can I get amen right there? And if you go through life depressed and on the backside of all that's wrong with the world, that's on you. That ain't on God. Amen? Hey, if you don't want to have victory, you don't have to have it. But please, don't ruin it for the rest of us. Say amen right there. The fact is, we live now, and we need to know that now we're the sons of God, not one day. And then we see its consummation in the future in verse 2. The Bible said, He shall appear. Said, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know what the... Listen, I don't know what it's going to be like in heaven. I don't know what the perfect body's going to be like. I don't know what it's going to be like, Brother John, not to have thoughts in my head or have thoughts of what I'd like to say to people. Amen, praise God. Can I get a witness there? But one day I will. It's going to be a blessing. Some of you... won't have the thought of choking somebody at Walmart because they cut you off. The Bible said, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that. It's not a maybe. It's not a think. He's saying this. He said, we don't know exactly what we're going to be when we get to heaven, but we can know this. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. I mean, it's going to be different. It's going to be nice, Brother Jimmy. Not to have to take all the medicines and all the sickness and all the death. And all that's going to be great. People aren't going to die in heaven. But it sure is going to be nice not to have to deal with the sin. And the temptation. And the struggles. And the trials. You know it's going to be even greater than that. And I know it's going to be wonderful to see those saints of God. And of course, Billy Graham just passed away. Brother Bobby Robertson did. And and men of God are dying and passing on. And I hear people say, I can't wait to get to heaven to see, you know, Paul or John the Baptist or whoever. And you'll have a long time for that. But if you're more interested than seeing your great-great-grandma than you are the Redeemer, there's something wrong. I mean, all's on your mind about getting to heaven is seeing a loved one, and I'm not against that, pray. But if you're more interested in seeing them than you are the Redeemer, you're not getting this. Hallelujah. Hey, I tell you what, I believe when we get there and see His beauty and His loveliness, and we finally, Brother Chad, we finally realize what God's done, for about the first 1,000,000 years, we're just going to be around His feet saying, holy, 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 holy. He's worthy. Friend, why wait till you get there till you start doing that? Why not go ahead and get a handle on it now, because He's worthy of it. It's a hidden mystery. It's a holy moment. But here's the thing we do know. We don't know what it'll be like, but we know this. We're going to be like Him. Number two, probably won't shout as much on this. The Bible deals with our holy conduct as saints. Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself. Now, I realize that's our standing with God. That's a positional standing. But it's also a practical standing. Now, I'm hoping, Brother Taylor, here I'm going to be right, okay? I'm just guessing. If all the dignitaries of this world were to come to our church, they're going to be here Sunday. You with me? Well, first thing that happens is some folks that aren't faithful to church will probably be here. President's going to be there. I'm going to church. The Prime Minister of England's going to be there. I'm going to church. But here's what we do, right? I'm hoping one of the things we would do would be to shower. I know there'll be some jackleg coming to me after us. Not me. Well, we know you don't now. You probably wouldn't do it for them either. But you, hopefully you'd clean up. Right? You'd come to church. You'd find people. Hey, listen. People that never wore a suit in their life, they'd go buy one because the Prime Minister and the President's going to be here. I've seen people at weddings that has never had a tie on in their whole entire life. But they're going to wear a tie to a wedding. You see them out, they ain't combed their hair. They ain't run a comb through their hair ever. They go to a wedding, boy, that's going to be slick. But if there's somebody that you're going to see them, you'd want to look your best, wouldn't you? You'd want to clean up real good for them. Well, that ought to be what we're doing now for when we get to see Him. Now, don't look at me like preacher's up there. He's starting with that legalism. Now, I'm just saying, I think you ought to give your best to God, don't you? I think you ought to look your best. I think you ought to dress your best. I think you ought to talk your best. Hey, listen. The fact is, that purifying hope, we have to understand that it is as to our standing in verse 3 through 5. He said, even as He is pure, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sin, and in Him is no sin. So it's a purifying hope that we are to live in light of the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we've already established tonight that we're sons of God, right? The privilege of it. The blessing of it. Well, here's my question. If God has been that good to us, we've established that God shouldn't love us, that God shouldn't save us, that God should not place us in His family. Can we all agree there? Then why do we think we're so good that once He does that, we have no responsibility towards Him? Why do we think it's all given give, 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 and us take, take, take. Right? Come on, Lord, give me some more. Don't let me go through that trial, Lord. That's not fair to me. Lord, keep blessing me. I'm running a little low this month, but put a check in the mail for me. Give me, give me, give me, give me. Don't look at me. I'm telling you, folks. It's this old flesh. It's this entitlement mentality that we have. God, you owe me since I'm your child now. You owe me. Listen, God doesn't owe us a thing. But the fact is, we ought to live in light of the judgment seat of Christ. I believe this. If we really thought that Jesus Christ was coming back tonight, there is not a believer in this world would be in church somewhere. Now we say that, and you're here. Praise God for that. Let me ask you this. If you thought He was coming back Saturday morning, reckon you'd be on visitation? If you thought He's coming back Saturday night at 7:30, reckon you'd be up here praying? Thought He's coming Sunday morning at 9:40. Reckon you'd be late to Sunday school that morning? Uh-oh. I just couldn't get up. Hey, if you knew He was going to come at 9:40, I'll guarantee you this, folks that can't get up for Sunday school would get up for Sunday school. I know what you're saying. Don't let that bird go anywhere else again. He gets crazy when he gets back. We ought to live in light of the judgment seat of Christ. We know that day's coming, but we've put it so far back, so far ahead of us. Well, I know it's one day, but it won't be today. Show me something in the Bible that has to be fulfilled for Jesus to come. Nothing. But we live like we've got another 100 years on this earth. Brother Eddie Peterson, I hope I live to be 99 like Billy Graham. Well, I hope you do too. But you're probably not going to. You can walk out here today and get hit by a car and die. Now, if that happened to you tonight, when you walked out of here, think you'd want to stand before God? Think you'd want to, with what you got right now to offer, with your track record right now, reckon you'd want to stand before Him? Getting real now, isn't it? I'm not critical. I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't want to. You know why? Because we don't live like He's coming back. We thought if we thought He's coming back at the end of 2018, we'd spend probably some would start now. Some, but let's be honest, a lot of folks would wait till December 25th till Christmas is over. They say, I'm going to start living for God now because He's coming back on December 31st. You don't know if He's come back today or not. Boy, I hate to think that sometimes my Christianity, Brother Chad, when it's not always what it should be, when I'm not, listen, I'm like you, I got flesh. There's mornings I wake up, man, I'm not singing victory in Jesus. There's times I'm mad. There's times I get up and don't read my Bible and pray. There's times where my Christianity is, man, it's at its lowest. Brother Mark, my faith is in the basement, right? Depressed, discouraged, can't trust God for nothing. Don't want to go to church. Don't read my Bible. Don't want to hand out a tract. Just don't want anything to do with it. You ever get like that? You be honest. Listen, you know, let me tell you the problem we got. We're too stinking proud to be honest. I don't never happen to me. I read my Bible about once a quarter. That's all I need. I'm just saying, can we get real for a little while? Can we stop playing Christian? Stop playing church? Stop playing like everybody's wrong but me? Because we're not, it's not going to be quite as easy as you think it is. But what happens if the Lord comes back at your lowest point of your Christian walk? You ever thought about that? Hey, we want to come back when we got all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed, don't we? I mean, when you out handing tracts on Saturday morning, that's time to say, "Oh, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." Hey, Sunday morning when we shouting around, praise God, and I'm in my place, Lord. If you're gonna come, come now. What about when you're supposed to be in the prayer closet? What about when you're supposed to be in your Bible study? What about when you're spending time doing things? I'm not saying sinful, just wasteful. You know what we got? We got a lot of someday Christians. I'm going to do that someday. One day I'm going to go out and soul winning. One day I'm going to be faithful to church. One day I'm going to sing in the choir. One day I'm going to serve God. One day I'm going to be faithful. One day I'm going to start giving. One day I'm going to give to missions. One day. What's going to happen is those one days are going to run out. We're to live in light of the judgment seat of Christ. We're to live in light of seeing Him face to face. He is our purifying hope. But then also He's our present hope in verse 4 and 5. The Bible says in verse 4, "Whosoever committeth sin..." Can I ask you something? We're getting real tonight, right? Isn't it amazing? We'll claim the whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brother Taylor, I've heard preachers, "I'm a whosoever." But I guarantee you, we come to 1 John chapter 3, verse number 4. "Whosoever committeth sin." I don't hear a lot of preachers getting up, "That's me." You know why? Because we don't want to get real. We don't want to get real. We'd rather live in our world of facade than we would to live in the real world and just realize, let me put it where we can get that. We ain't all that. The commandment of the law. You know what motivates us to stay in the fight for God? It's not law. It's love. It's love. And His coming should make us more aware of who we really are. Man, if you watch the news and you can get past all the memo gate and all the stupidity of Democrats and Republicans arguing. My own? And who's running for sheriff and who's running for president? If you can get through all that and you can get down to some real news and you can see what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on in North Korea, what's going on in Russia, what's going on in Iran, Syria, this thing's wrapping up. It's wrapping up. And His coming should make us more aware of who we are. You remember in school? Some of you can't remember that far back. Jeff, that's when they had one room and a stove in the middle. you remember in school, a bully, he'd say, tomorrow, at the playground, I'm going to deck you. You got on the bus that day, got around your friends, they'd say, you afraid? I ain't afraid of him. I ain't afraid. I knock him out, man. I got him. He never, I'm like a badger, man. He never jumped on something like this. Then that night you trying to fall asleep, you know what you was thinking about? That bully. The next morning, you can't do this anymore, kids. You say, Mom, I'm sick. She say, let me take your temperature. She bring that thermometer in there. I put her on the light bulb. I'd shake her down to 100. Can't do that with those fancy ones now and blow it up. How can your temperature be 784 degrees? I'd shake that baby down. Because you know what I was thinking about? A couple more hours. Old big boy's going to be waiting on me. You get to school, around your friends, you say, I ain't afraid of him. Then recess comes. You're just trying to get in trouble so you'd miss recess. Closer you got to that event, you know what happened? You start thinking about it more. There's a fear that came over you, right? See, it's easy to say we're excited about the coming of the Lord when we think it's way off. It's easy to talk about that dying grace when you think it's 40 years away. But every year that clicks off, we're getting closer to eternity. And boy, I tell you what, that's right, we're going to seem like He is. We're going to be like Him. But we ought to live our life on this earth knowing that we're going to stand before Him. That's our standing. And then as to our state in verse 6 through 10. The Bible said, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither know Him, known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the work of the devil. And whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Here's what I want you to see. I don't know about you, but I've always read that. That confused me. Because I'd look at Brother Mark, I'd say, well, if I'm really Christian, I shouldn't sin. I can't sin. But I do. And then you'd have some preacher get up there, Brother Jim, and say, well, if you do this, this, and this, you're probably not saved. Well, I didn't tell you his little list of this, this, and this. He's probably not saved either. But sin's blindness, in verse 6 and 7, is our state of imperfection. Now, how many know tonight that we've got a divine nature inside of us? How many know we've got a fleshly nature on the outside of us? How many have problems with that fleshly nature? Hey, there's times that spiritual nature wins out. There's times that flesh wins out, isn't it? And the Bible said here, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. So we have to realize that the flow of a true believer's life is obedience. If you're really saved, you want to be obedient. It's not that you want to go out and see how what you can get away with. It's not that you want to push the line and just, listen, there's too many folks, Brother Matt, that they want to see just how much they can get away with. They want to live just like the world and say, well, I'm saved because I said a prayer. Listen, if there's no chastening in your life and you live that way, the Bible said you're not His. There should be that desire of obedience in us. There should be that desire to, and it doesn't mean we won't mess up. We will sin. Paul said the things that he wanted to do, he didn't do. And the things he didn't want to do, he did do. And so it tells me that we will sin. We are going to sin if we sin. Right? If we say we have no sin, that we make God what? A liar. If we sin, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's not that there's sinless perfection, but the flow of my life should be that I want to obey God. It's not that I'm looking for loopholes, how I can live like the world. It is that I'm disgusted when I sin and I repent of it. It's not, oh well, I'm not perfect. But Bobby, we have too many folks today that have that mindset. Oh well, I'm not perfect. Oh well, nobody's perfect. I am who I am. Well, we are. But the fact is, when we're saved, when we're truly a believer, that new life is a life of obedience to the Word of God. And it should be our desire to want to please God and to live right and to do what the Bible says. And we will mess up because sin's blindness and sin's bondage. In verse 8, the Bible said, he that committeth sin is of the devil. And so sin has its origin with Satan, and he tempts even God's children to sin. Does anybody that have an issue with temptation? Is there anybody, you walk through life and man, there's no temptation to ever say the wrong thing, to ever be bitter, to ever look at the wrong thing, to ever... You know, and here's the thing, Brother Johnny. We talk about the sins of commission, the things that we commit, but there's also sins of omission, things that we don't do for God. So we're capable of doing that if we're not abiding in Him. And so he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning for this purpose, since he did sin from the beginning, since mankind are sinners. I heard a guy say this the other day, and I want to stand up, Brother Johnny. They had a little upwards celebration for the basketball thing, and the guy did, for the most part, did a pretty good job kind of breaking down the gospel for these kids. But he said this. He said, if you've ever told a lie, if you've just told one lie, that makes you a sinner. No, it doesn't. You were a sinner the moment you came into the world. If you've ever just told one lie or stole one piece of candy, that makes you a sinner. No, sir. You do that because you are a sinner. You were born into this thing. If you never stole a piece of candy, never told a lie. If you're George Washington, said, I've never told a lie. You're still going to hell if you don't accept Christ as your Savior. And so mankind was plunged into sin because of Adam's disobedience. And because of that, the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second Adam, Jesus was manifested to take away the sin of the world. So don't believe all that. And what will happen is, if we're not careful, we start saying, well, my sin isn't that bad. I just told a little white lie. He told an awful lie. This guy, you know, we look at this kid in Florida, this mass murder, and everybody wants his head. And I still believe this. The Bible tells us that someone that murders, should their life should be taken. But you better not get on your high horse and say, I'd never do anything like that. Because he may not look on the internet at some of the stuff you look at. He may not have the bitterness that you have. He may not have the jealousy, the envy, the strife, the discontentment, whatever it is. So whatever you have, stop comparing yourself to the guy that's worse than you and just deal with yours. See? Just deal with yours. Because I'm not going to stand before the Lord and give an account for that guy in Florida. But I'll give an account for what I think. I'll give an account because I don't have compassion on people. I'll give an account because I don't give the gospel out. I'll give an account when I'm not faithful to the house of God, when I don't give like I should. I'm saying somewhere in that list of all the stuff that you think is not that bad, you need to realize that's a sin that hung Jesus on the cross too. It's bondage. Jesus came to destroy that bondage. You know, what's interesting is, again, how we quote the Bible and misquote it, and you hear people say, Well, you're going to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. No. So if I tell Brother Matt something that's the truth, how does that make me free? If I tell him something that hurts him, even though I think it's the truth, how does that make him free? Might make him feel worse than he does. Well, that's what the Bible said. No, it doesn't. Let's just do a little Bible quiz. Who is truth? So if you know him, does that make you free? Absolutely. Don't get some half-baked theology that, well, if I tell the truth, that means I'm free. If I know the truth. You know what the problem is? You don't know what's truth and what's not. You ought to quit digging in everybody's boneyard for the truth and just go to the Lord and say, you know what, I don't care if what so-and-so said about Brother Chad is true or Brother Eddie. That's not my business. What I care about is knowing the truth. Hello? And so the fact is tonight that you and I is that Jesus came to destroy that bondage. But then, in verse 9 and 10, I'll finish with this quickly. Sin's birthmark. The Bible said in verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest. And the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness, is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So a godly life comes by trusting, not trying. Can I, if you get nothing else tonight, get this. The harder you try, the harder you're going to fail. It is impossible for you to live the life that God wants you to live outside the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what I found over 16 years of pastoring? Brother Mark, is that people like the idea of living for God until it gets too hard for them to live for God. Then they want to find some place to go where the demands are not so high. You know what? We could drop every standard. We could drop every conviction. We could drop every expectation from this church. We could turn into come as you are, do as you please. And it makes some people happy. But it's not going to change what God expects. And He has made it impossible to live the Christian life outside the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You just can't do it. You can't. Too hard. And so what happens is people try. They don't pray. They don't study the Word of God. They don't want the feeling of the Holy Spirit. And they say, I'll just fake it. Because that's what you're doing. See? When you're doing it in your flesh and your power, you're faking it. You're the hypocrite. And so it goes along for a while. And here's what happens. They get mad about something. I can't believe the preacher expects us to be here for visitation. Well, it used to didn't bother you. I can't believe we're supposed to read our Bible. I got too much to do to read my Bible every day. Can't believe God expect me to. I can't believe, Brother Jimmy, God expect me to take my hard-earned money, put it in that offering plate when I got bills to pay. Used to didn't bother you. You know what bothers us now? Because we're tired of doing it. And instead of surrendering and saying, God, I can't do it, you're going to have to do it through me. We just quit on God altogether. We just quit. I'm done. I'm done, God. Oh, I'll go home and sit around the house and talk about being a Christian. I don't want to live it. It's too hard. Too hard. And so long as we yield to the nature. Now you won't listen to what I'm saying. As long as we yield to the nature that God has put in us, we won't sin. But Brother Taylor, the moment we yield to that flesh nature, we'll sin. Sin's not of God. Sin is of the devil. We've established that. So there has to be something that causes us to sin. And it's when we yield to that flesh side instead of that spiritual side. I was reading an article yesterday, I believe it was. Dan Mullen, who is the new coach for the Florida Gators, he was the offensive coordinator when Tim Tebow was there. They're asking him about his relationship with Tim Tebow, and he said he's one of the greatest individuals I've ever been around. He said his faith is real. He lives what he says he is. And I thought, wow. Here's a guy that's around a college kid. Now, let's back it up. You look at a kid that's star quarterback at that time for one of the premier football programs in the nation. Won 2 national championships. You got kids in college now that grow up in our church. And churches that believe like we believe, they go off to college, they're done. I mean, the first week, man, they're out drunk, smoking dope, committing fornication. I mean, just, they were raised right. Now, you take that same situation, now you put it on a kid that has all the limelight on it. And I don't know this to be true, but I read an article. When he went to the New York Giants, they were paying women to try to get him to mess up. And he still wouldn't. Do you tell me how a man can do that in his flesh? He can't. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And we look at these kids, and we say, oh, well, they're just youngins, preacher. You know, they're going to sow their wild oats. No, 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 no. Don't you give them a pass. Because the same Holy Spirit, if they're saved, that lives in you, lives in them. They can't live that life outside the power of the Holy Spirit. But mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, you can't either. You can't either. We're born into the family now. We got somebody watching our back. But if we get outside the boundary of His protection, we're out there where that roaring lion is. And we'll mess up. We'll mess up. Oh, I know, preacher, but listen. I bet preachers don't mess up. Bet they do. There's a lot of them not in ministry now because they messed up. I bet associate pastors don't mess up. Not ours, but there's some that do. We're capable. What we need to do is remember whose family we're a part of. What He adopted us from. And live every day in His power. Let's stand together. Let's stand together all over the auditorium. Let's bow our heads tonight, close our eyes. Can we agree tonight that God sure has been good to us and God sure has loved us? Maybe tonight you're trying to live that life in your flesh and you're struggling with it. You're struggling with it. You just need to come and say, God, I'm done. I'm surrendering it all to you tonight. I want you to live through me. I'm tired of trying to live my life my way. I want you to live through me. Maybe tonight you're not 100% sure. You've made a profession. You've said a prayer, but there's never been a change in your life. Why don't you come tonight and say, God, I want to get the real thing. I want the real thing. Maybe you've got a loved one you need to pray for. Whatever your needs are.